Good evening. It's good to have this number with us tonight. And as Mark mentioned, there are some visitors with us. We're certainly glad that you're here. Encourage you to come back and meet with us whenever you possibly can. I am speaking in the absence of our regular preacher, Brother Tim Sutton, who is sick. And we certainly hope that he'll get well soon. I know I do. And we are glad that maybe he will be getting some medical help again this week, and that will be something that will help him regain his strength real soon. I love looking in the Old Testament. There are pictures of human conduct, people's lives, that we can look at as illustrations and examples. God has revealed them to us in His Word. And these things, the Scripture says, are written for our learning. And so it's important for us to gain the lessons that God would have us to gain as we read about these various people who lived during the Bible times that the Bible was being written, especially in the Old Testament. So many different stories and so many different events that we can draw from. And the Scripture looks at it and tells us God's opinion. It tells us what God thinks about it, what God did about it. And it's important for us to make those applications to our lives. Tonight in our study, I would like to go to a period of history in the Old Testament of just when the United Kingdom, the kingdoms of Saul, David, and Solomon, when that united kingdom was coming to an end, and the divided kingdom began. And so as Solomon was dying, his son Rehoboam would be one who would take over his throne, and did. Prior to his death, God had appeared through his angel to Jeroboam. And he told Jeroboam that the kingdom was going to be divided. That there would be 10 northern tribes and there would be 2 southern tribes. The 2 southern would be Judah and Benjamin. And he told Jeroboam that he wanted him to be the ruler, the king, over the northern kingdom. When Solomon died, Rehoboam assumed the throne. In doing so, the people of Israel, the united Israel, petitioned him to lighten the load and the burdens that his father Solomon had placed upon them. And if he would lighten those burdens, then they would be faithful to him and serve him diligently. After consulting with some of the younger men his own age, he came back and told them no. He was not going to lighten their burdens. In fact, he was going to increase them, make it harder on them. As a result of that, the 10 northern tribes revolted and rebelled against Rehoboam. And God told Rehoboam not to chase after them, not to go to war with them, for this was his plan. And so the 10 northern tribes then fell under the leadership of Jeroboam. Jeroboam seemingly liked to be in that position. And so he is not in the position of ruling the 10 northern tribes very long until some changes began to be made. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to look at 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. I want to read a few verses there describing Jeroboam's action concerning his relationship and the people's relationship to God in the northern kingdom. I'll begin reading with verse 25 of chapter 12 of 1 Kings. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. And he also went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord. Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice, made 2 calves of gold, and said to the people, "It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt." And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judea, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altars which he had made at Bethel, and on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month in which he had devised to in his own heart, and he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and offered sacrifices on the altar, and burned incense. When we think about this, we begin to see that Jeroboam then began to make his own background. Remember, God promised him the rule of the 10 northern kingdoms. He promised him that he would make his kingdom great if he would be faithful and lead the people in following after him. He would prosper. He would be a good king, and God would reward him as such. And so these tribes revolted. These 10 tribes revolted and went against and followed Jeroboam. He was not content to trust in God's ways, but he changed God's ways, as we see here in these passages. And the text that we've just read lists the changes that Jeroboam made to God's way. Let's look at his religion. First of all, the source of his religion was human wisdom. It was not from the mind of God. In verse 31 and 33, we were told, Jeroboam ordained a feast in the month which he had devised of his own heart. Also, that's the same case that men are in danger of doing today, establishing religious practices that are of their own wisdom and not the wisdom of God. A few moments ago, Brother Hall read to us from Colossians, the 2nd chapter. I'd like to reread that, not that he didn't do a good job, he did an excellent job, but to get into our mind as it flows along. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humanity and worship of angels, intruding in those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with increase, that is, from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humanity, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Paul said concerning his attitude and disposition that he too was in false religion. He said in Acts 26 and verse 9, "Indeed, I myself thought I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He preached on the Sermon on the Mount, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and your name cast out demons, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here were people who thought they were doing good and that they were doing things in the name of Christ, but they were not doing what God commanded them to do. They were doing things that they thought were well in the name of the Lord. The motive of Jeroboam's religion was to make personal followers. You remember, as we shall see, Jeroboam was afraid that let the people go to Jerusalem had God had instructed all Jews to do on certain feast days. And he didn't want the people to go to Jerusalem. He felt that if he let the people go to Jerusalem, he was afraid that they would return and follow Rehoboam, and he'd lose the people that were in his kingdom, that they would have this homesickness, this yearning to be in Jerusalem again and to worship there. And so because of this wanting personal followers to follow him and his ideas rather than God, then he devised a plan whereby he could have his own personal followers stay with him and not follow after the plans of God to worship and observe the things that God had ordained to be observed in Jerusalem. That's the same motive for a lot of false teaching today. And that is that people want people to follow them, and they want to teach things that people enjoy and things that people like, and that cannot be found in the Scriptures. In Acts the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 28, Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd the flock of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Peter writes in 2 Peter, the second chapter, the first three verses. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring them on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetous, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So here is the main purpose that we see behind Jeroboam's establishing a religion of his own, causing the people to leave the teachings of God and the way of God's demands and his laws. He wanted the people to follow him. He was afraid that he would lose them to Rehoboam, and he didn't want that. Secondly, the appeal that he used. The appeal that he used in his religion to get people to follow and stay with him rather than do God's will was that he wanted to appeal to make the religion easy, convenient, almost no sacrifice on their part whatsoever. Not the giving in to anything that might be hard on them. But he wanted to make the religion so convenient that they wouldn't even want to do what God had commanded them to do. He wanted to make their worship easier. And in doing so, he said, Jerusalem was too much for you to go and worship at Jerusalem. That's just too much. That's too big a hassle to have to go all the way up to Jerusalem and worship. Stay here. I'm going to take care of it. Worship here. Don't go down there. False teaching uses the same appeal today. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. In the fourth verse of Jude's letter, we read, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is important that we consider Galatians 1 and verse 10 when we find ourselves as teachers of God's Word or listening to God's Word. Because we read in Galatians 1 and in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That's what Jeroboam was trying to do. He was trying to please men. It was not important to him to please God, to let the people obey God's command to go to Jerusalem to worship. Rather, he wanted them to stay there, and he wanted them to be pleased in staying there with him and his kingdom and not leaving it. So here are his actions. Here is what he's trying to do. Now, in doing so, he's got to make it attractive. He's got to make it appear that it's almost the same thing that they've been doing at home before. And so he makes his religion to appear to be similar to truth, sort of like it. In other words, the feast, he said, we're told in verse 32, was like the feast that was in Judea. But it wasn't the feast that was in Judea. He made one that was similar to it, that was kind of like the one in Judea, so that they wouldn't have to go there. And so he wanted to get just as close to the truth. The only thing he says he was really changing was the location, you see. Well, God had named the location. But he was just changing that one little thing. We still offer the feast. We'll still have the feast, he says. And it'll be similar to the one that will be in Judah. False teachers today make the error acceptable by giving it the appearance of truth. They teach something and then they say, well, this is just what it appears would be right, just as right as what we read in the Bible. And so they begin to change it just a little bit. In 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, beginning with verse 12, we read, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves and to ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. How surprising. False teachers want to make themselves look like they are just as holy and as righteous and precious in God's sight as obedient children of God. They want to make themselves to appear like there is no wrong, no sin in their life. And so they try to put on this air of holiness and purity. And it's mock purity, mock holiness, because they are trying to cause people to leave God's way. Remember that familiar passage Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, here were good works. Here were good things that people were doing, and they were doing it in the name of the Lord. What was wrong with that? They were not doing what God said. He that doeth the will of my Father. A lot of people will say, I did a lot of things in the name of Father. God's going to say, but you didn't do it my way. You didn't do what I said to do. You did it your way. And so that's the way that they will work and the way they will try to cause us to be led astray. That was the practice of Jeroboam's religion, was try to get as close to the truth as they could, try to make themselves appear holy and pious themselves. And all the time changing God's commands. If we follow this religion of Jeroboam, these various actions that he's taking and changing feast days and changing locations of worship, of changing the worship from worshiping God to worshiping idols, of establishing priests that were not from the tribe of Levi, his own priests, and doing these things, what effect is it going to have on the people if they follow Him? Remember, these are things that are supposed to be similar in nature to what God had commanded. He just didn't want them to have to put themselves out too much. He just didn't want them to have to be sacrificial in their religion. He didn't want them to change. I mean, He wanted them to change. He didn't want them to go back to Jerusalem. And so He began to set up a religion similar to what was in Jerusalem, but wasn't exactly like that, and was based on the worship of idols. Jeroboam's progression in sin changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to Dan and Bethel, one in the northern part of the kingdom, one in the southern part of the kingdom. He built the two golden calves, placed one at each place. He established a different feast, but a feast that was kind of like the other. He appointed unqualified priests, priests from among the people, he said, not of the tribe of Levi. The result of such actions can be seen as years pass. When we turn over to 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, we begin to read what has happened to the children of the northern kingdom. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them in high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images, groves in every high hill, under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away from before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Later in verses 16 and 17, it says, and they left all the commandments of the Lord our God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, human sacrifices, used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke Him to anger. What we see is that false religion progressively gets further and further from the truth. Over and over we see where religious bodies have gradually pulled away from the truth. And as years have passed, they've gotten further and further away. When the digression of the 60s, late 50s and early 60s, came into the church, the plea was, let's just take care of the little orphans. And then that grew to, let's support secular human education, colleges, and schools out of the church budget. And then they began, let's build banquet halls and dinner halls and recreational fields and gymnasiums. And once you take one step, you keep going when you get outside the pattern. This is what happened to the children of Israel. And this is what we can see is happening to those who've been in God's family as the years have progressed. Once that first step was taken to go outside the teaching of God's Word and try to include the ways of the world and the ways of denominations, the further and further they left the truth. That's what happened to Israel. That's what happens today when people progressively first leave the truth. They will get farther and farther away from the truth. The path away from God's ways always leads downhill, away from truth, away from righteousness, away from purity. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The antidote for this wickedness is found in what Paul told Timothy in his second letter, in chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, the result of following Jeroboam's type of religion is rejection from God. That's what Israel suffered. They suffered the rejection of God. Over in 2 Kings, where we were reading about the results of their following after Jeroboam's religion. In verse 18, we read of chapter 17, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. We know that this was when they were taken away into Assyrian captivity and destroyed as a nation, a people. God destroyed them because they followed after the religion of Jeroboam and didn't stay after the religion of God, Jehovah, and follow the teachings that God had revealed, the things that they were to do to worship God according to the law of Moses. All false worshipers will suffer God's rejection. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, we're told, beginning with verse 41, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, that for which people have no law, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So when we look at Jeroboam's religion, it was based on human wisdom. What about the religion you practice today? In addition to the Bible, does it have a manual, a discipline, a catechism? That's human wisdom. And a lot of people put more emphasis on those things than they do the Bible. The Bible is all you need. And when you start adding those types of things and calling them just as important as Scripture, then you've got a religion that's based on human wisdom and not on heavenly wisdom. People today will be motivated to follow the man rather than God. That's its motive. Great man, great speaker, pleasing things. And that draws crowds. You know, we don't like to be told that we're wrong. We don't like to be told that we're separated from God because of sin in our life. But if we can be told over and over how good we are, and how good things can be with us in this world, and the blessings of the material things of this world, pretty soon we'll believe it to the point that we don't want to follow God. We want to follow those who are tickling our ears. We want to follow those who are speaking pleasing platitudes rather than the correcting and reproving from God's Word and the encouraging and the building up that we can gain from God's Word. He appealed to convenience for worship. That's what a lot of people do today. They try to make worship, the participation in worship, as convenient as they can. They try to add instruments to worshiping God in music rather than just singing because that makes it more convenient. In fact, sometimes we'll just let the instruments worship God and we'll just listen. Or we'll get a group in front of us to sing and worship for us. That's more convenient. Because some of us can't carry a tune in a bucket. But God tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He tells us to sing. And so convenience is an appeal that's made by the religion of Jeroboam and by the religions of the world today. We need to be aware of that. We need to realize that what many denominations and religious things do today, organizations do, that they are similar to the truth. They pray. They worship God in song. They contribute. They do things that we find in the Scriptures. And they'll do things that are similar, meeting on the first day of the week. But crouched within that are their own dealings and their own thinking and the wisdom of man guiding and directing them. Apostasy will grow worse and worse if we turn away from God's way and begin to follow man's way. It resulted in God's rejection of those who practiced Jeroboam's religion. And the kind of religion is as false now as it was then. And we need to guard ourselves against those things that we find in the religious world today. We must refuse it and worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4, verses 23 and 24. Are you worshiping Him according to His Word? Are you worshiping Him according to the way that feels good to you? Are you worshiping Him according to the way that you like, rather than what God says? If you are worshiping Him in those opposite ways, then you're practicing the religion of Jeroboam. Have you obeyed His Word in order to obtain salvation? Becoming a child of God, having your sins washed away, and then determining that you're going to work and worship Him according to the Scriptures and not be guided away from the Scriptures by false teaching, by false actions, and by things that may be similar in nature but not really what God commanded. Be careful in those areas. You need to obey His Word to become a child of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in a new life, a child of God. Maybe you've become unfaithful and fallen by the wayside. The Lord says if you're willing to repent of those things and confess your sins and pray to Him for forgiveness, He will forgive you and remember them against you no more. Now is the time to do what God says. To follow His instructions, to be obedient to Him, to become a child of God, to return from unfaithfulness, to determine that as you serve and worship the Lord, you're going to do it His way, so that you might be pleasing in His sight and heaven can be your home. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we pray that you'll come while together we stand in